Hello and welcome to Spiritual, Intuitive and Holistic Practitioners Business Circle. My name is Andrea Cowley, and I'm a content strategist, and I'm here today, as usual, with my partner in crime, Kerry McGillray, psychic medium. Hi, Kerry, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. I'm all rugged up here. It's a bit ridiculous. I think I've got about three layers of jumpers on because like it's so nice outside, it looks really nice, but in here I'm freezing for some reason. So
Always the way.
hopefully you won't hear my teeth chatter while we're having a chat today about good readings. What makes a good reading? How can you give a good reading, and why you really need to give a good reading? So all about good readings,
Yes.
psychic readings, that is. We're not talking about book readings, are we?
No. No. No, those can be covered off at school.
Yes. We're not those type of teachers and guides and stuff like that. So welcome to all of those who are watching. As usual, please let us know where in the world you're watching from. We'd love to know what countries and what people we reach. So feel free to communicate. Let us know where you are. So let's kick off with today's subject of good readings. And how actually did this topic come about? It came about because we talked about bad readings a couple of weeks ago,
Yes,
didn't we?
it was. It was very much that's how it came about.
It did. And then we thought, if we covered bad readings, we really should cover good readings too, because that's
That's
only
right.
fair, you know.
Absolutely.
So I've got a couple of experiences of good readings as a sitter. I used to do readings, but to be honest, when I needed some help with some stuff that I was going through, then I went to someone else because, if I can't see the wood from the trees, then whatever reading I try to give to myself isn't going to be as in-depth and as accurate as it could be. Isn't that right? Do you ever read for
Absolutely.
yourself, Kerry?
I do. I always take it with a grain of salt because, especially if it's really something that I'm emotionally attached to the outcome. So I find that, whenever it's something like that, I will only see what I want to see because that's the level of perspective that I'm coming from. So very much, I've had many, many psychics come to me for readings for the same reason that I go to others, right? It's because when we're doing it for ourselves, we need someone who's objective.
Psychics, getting readings from other psychics. It sounds a little bit funny, but I think, even if you're a doctor, you've got something wrong with you. You should probably go to another doctor who can be objective
That's right.
about you and your symptoms and all that. So,
Not that we're doctors. Right?
No,
Just to be
absolutely
clear,
not. No
because when it
medical
comes to
advice here
reading,
whatsoever. Exactly. And that's a
medical
part of a good reading, when you can disqualify or disclaim, certain stuff. But I have a friend that I go to when I need a reading, and she's been reading for me for a number of years, even before I've known you, Kerry. So all I need to do is just go, hey, I've got an issue. Can you please look into it? I don't even need to say what that issue is. It's just that, can you please, look at what's going on in the background, what have you, because I just can't get a handle on it. And then, give it a couple of days and she comes back to me with, blah, 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 all of this. And I'm like, excellent. Thank you. What a great reading. I didn't have to tell you anything and you just went, straight for the good stuff. So this is why I love having her read for me. She's my regular. So,
I have a couple that we do it together. So like when they get stuck, I read for them, and when I get stuck, they read for me, and we go backwards and forwards, and we have a really good relationship like that. So for us, because we're actually already friends, so for us it's almost like practice. We practice on each other. Whenever each other need it, we support each other in that regard. So it's about supporting each other through our journeys because we know that we get stuck. And sometimes we can't see what's there because we're s still looking at the mud that our feet are stuck in. We can't see 2 feet in front of us. Because the fog's so friggin' thick, like it was in Sydney this morning.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, apparently in the
I have
city.
no idea. Oh, really? Yeah, it gets like that sometimes, just randomly. Hello, Wendy Hodges from Cairns. How are you? How are you doing, Wendy? Thanks for coming. Hi, Stacey. Yeah, please feel free to say hello. Hey, Crystal, how are you going? So good to have you all watching us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time wherever you are in the world. If it's your lunchtime, you know, in the middle of the night, or, you know, just at the beginning of the day, getting the kids ready for school. Hopefully, is it school holidays everywhere in Australia? I can't put my finger on it.
Queensland's got school holidays, and I think Melbourne as well. South Wales is next week.
Yes, it's next week. So I don't know why they need to do that. It's a little bit backward, isn't it, when it's all over the place?
I know.
Okay. So when you guys see me just looking off screen, don't worry. I'm not ignoring you or Kerry. I'm just managing the broadcast, basically, with the comments and agendas and all that. So that's what's happening.
There you go.
All right,
she's managed it so well, we lost her. She will be back shortly, I have no doubt whatsoever, so don't stress everyone. Oh, Stacey, you're in Perth. Wow. Mm. Must be what? Oh, 10 o'clock over there or 9 o'clock? So it's nice and early for you over there, Stacey.
Mm.
I hope everyone's surviving, those who are stuck in school holidays. I hope you're surviving the school holidays. So I wouldn't stress so much about that. The kids make it through. It's usually the parents that need the support.
Mm.
So while Andrea is just off sorting out her technical side of things, I will maybe start the conversation. So when we're talking about good readings, there's a few things that we need to look at. And one of the things about making a good reading is that you need to kind of be really clear in the information that you give. I find that the readings that I give where I get really, really good feedback, they go into lots of detail, they're really clear. And here she comes, fingers crossed.
Yay. I'm sorry. I have no idea what happened. I didn't even know that I went offline because it didn't show, the broadcast didn't show that I went offline. But here I am.
Yay. She's back.
Yeah. If you lose me again, just yell out and I don't know, I'll just throw my phone out the window or something.
So I was just starting to touch on what makes a good reading and what and the feedback that I get when I give those types of readings to others. And the information that I usually get back in feedback is that they're really accurate, they're really detailed, and it's not just about what's coming up. It's actually more of it is about where they've been and how they've got to where they are. I find that they get really blown away when you can really see the situation that they're in more than one light. I find that that's really, really impactful. So that, like the future stuff, most people I've found is, do you know what I mean? They're kind of like neither here nor there about it because they understand, like most people that are going to psychics understand that, you know, you could walk out the door and make a different decision and everything that they've just told you about the future is gone.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Even though you have no idea what decision that is that changes the entire future reading. So most of them are more focused on giving them good insight into where they are, exactly where they are. And more useful to them than what's coming.
Yeah, because what's coming, there are so many different variables. And it's not just people making their own decisions, but other people making decisions for themselves and sometimes for other people, and it's like a butterfly effect, isn't it? And ripple effect, it all ripples out, and one small decision can make massive changes once it ripples out.
And I find honesty is really important. in a good reading. So there's sometimes people will come to me and like, oh, so what should I do here? And quite frankly, half the time, I have to turn around and tell them, well, that decision hasn't been made yet, so I can't tell you which way to go, because that's not my job. My job isn't to tell you which way to decide. My job is to give you the variations of the possible outcomes based on maybe which way you do decide, and then it's your choice which way you want to go. And, you know, so even, and that's a better way to do it. It's more empowering.
So a good reading is not necessarily things that's all, you know, all happiness and blissful and all good, you know, uplifting information and all that. Sometimes good readings can contain some heavy stuff, can't they?
Absolutely.
Some, you know, real reflections and pointing out things that aren't so pleasant.
Absolutely. And some readings have had that in them where, you know, I've had to say, like I said before, that, you know, that decision hasn't been made, or they're not showing me where this is going, because sometimes the process and the journey is more important. So it can be really, really powerful to actually go through an experience, because that can shave 10 years off our knowledge, right? If we actually experience something, we can learn something in like a condensed amount of time instead of just learning it from other people's experiences.
Yeah, because when you do that, that's kind of bypassing the whole thing, isn't it? You're not really learning. Well, you're learning. It's like reading a self-help book. Someone tells you about their experience and then you go, oh, yeah, I can relate to that. But when you go through that yourself, then that's a whole other ball game, isn't it? Because that's first-hand knowledge. That's first-hand knowledge.
And it has the different things that you need specifically. So in a book, you might read about someone else's experiences, and while you can relate to it, it doesn't stick, because it doesn't have the bits that you need for it to actually impact you and change. So
that's the point. That's the point with readings, isn't it? To create some sort of to be a catalyst for that transformational process where people can actually maybe turn their life around or make better decisions for themselves and things like that. So to create that transformational space for the people that are getting the reading.
Very much so. And I also find that gaining that clarity from where they are, like a lot of people will come to you and they already have an idea on what they need to do and where they need to go. So that part they actually don't really need. But when you confirm what they've been thinking and they haven't told you, that's really, really powerful stuff, right? Because it lets them know that they already knew the answers all along. They just needed someone to tell them they weren't batshit crazy.
Exactly. Because this kind of stuff, like intuition, I know that we're veering off the subject a little bit, but let's face it, when don't we? Like,
it's all related.
It is all related, and it's all to do with finding yourself. Whether you're a reader or a sitter, it doesn't matter what side of the table you're sitting on. You know, we all use our intuition, everybody. And I actually think that it would be a great idea to teach this in school. You know, the kids, how to use your intuition and your gut feeling. You know, what does this feel like? What does that feel like? That's why we question ourselves so much, because we just lose touch with our intuition. Marie saying the old gut feeling, all related. Yeah, it is all related, Marie. Yeah, so we question ourselves and we get these feelings and these impressions, and we go, I must be crazy, because, you know, why would I, you know, see, you know, whatever, you know, maybe something that's going to happen in a couple of days, or why would I see or have insight into what's happening in someone else's life? So we go to a psychic and we get a reading, and then the psychic goes and tells us the same thing, and then we go, oh shit, Well, I had the same feeling. I just didn't trust it.
And see, I think the bit that distinguishes between a good and a bad reading is the way you interpret it. So it's not all about how the psychic, what the information that the psychic gives and how they deliver it, because it's really important how you deliver it. You need to deliver it with integrity, and you need to make sure that they don't leave worse than what they came to you. So I would never, ever let a client walk out who felt 10 times worse than what they did when they came in. I would always make them feel uplifted and empowered. But it's also, as a person who's getting the reading, it's also their job, I guess, to actually take on board what the information that's given. Because a lot of people say, oh, I had a really bad reading. And what you'll find is if you actually ask them why they thought it was bad, it's because they got information they didn't want to hear.
And probably touched on some unpleasant things, you know, maybe a bit embarrassing things and all that. And so just because it's uncomfortable, it doesn't make it a bad reading, does it? In fact, it makes it a good reading because it helps. It helps people reflect on some things and like be really honest about it. And especially if you're not friends with your reader, like I am,
or me,
especially, like when you go to a complete stranger and they go and point something out, that can be really confronting and a bit scary too. But it takes two to tango, doesn't it? So you know, when you go get a reading, you want it's kind of like a two-edged sword, isn't it? It's like you go there and you go, or some people go, oh, show me what you got. And when they show you or show them, they go, oh, well, that was a bit crap because, you know, you pointed out that, you know, I'm secretly a gambler and, you know, whatever, you know.
Whatever. And or they that go, I have to make all the choices and it's not someone else's fault.
exactly. So that doesn't make a bad reading. In fact, that makes a good reading because if, you know, your friends aren't necessarily going to point those things out to you.
That's right. They're going to
psychic. Yeah, the psychic doesn't have to be your friend. That's their job is to reveal and unveil those you know little things.
And it's funny because some of those people come in with the expectation that they want you to tell them that their intuition is wrong. Because they don't like because they don't like what their intuition is telling them. So, you know,
That's really weird.
I know it's weird, but they just, you know, especially when it comes to things like cheating and stuff like that in relationships, people will come in, their intuition's telling them their partner's already cheating, and they're praying to God that when they come into you, that you tell them that they're wrong. Because they don't want to actually have to admit it, right? And deal with that. So, if you then pick up that there's something that's not right between the relationship, then they don't like the reading because then they actually have to deal with what's going on. They can't just brush it under the rug. So there are scenarios where they don't want what their intuition is telling them to be true. So I usually find that they're the ones that kind of get a little bit cranky at the initial offset if they didn't want to believe it, but then eventually come back later and go, oh my God, you were right.
Yeah, and come back. That's what you want them to do. You want your clients to come back. Giving readings isn't about, you know, wham bam thank you ma'am, never to see your clients again. You want them to come back, and if you give them a great reading that they leave uplifted and all good information and all that, chances are they will come back to you. But what happens when it's really heavy and you're covering some not so nice things, how can you ensure that those clients will come back and they're not going to go, I don't want to see you again ever? What do you do? How do you achieve that as a psychic?
Oh, it's not easy. It's a delicate dance is how I would put it.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It's a really, really delicate dance. And you know, there are scenarios where I have picked up physical abuse in readings, but I don't literally come out and say it, right? So I may pick it up because that's the area that they want me to look in, but I will bring it up gently so that they still feel safe and comfortable. And if they feel comfortable enough to open up and let me in and say, well, I'm actually getting physically abused and whatnot, then we go down that path and we dig deep, right? Because that to me is their way of saying, yes, I really need to sort that part out, but I just didn't want to start with that, right? So, you know, you need to let them know that you're there to support them. It's really important. So to me, I always let my clients know that, you know, if you ever need to come back, you're more than welcome to come back. I would love to hear from you. Let me know how it all goes, you know, because I like to hear how things go and how they progress, because that's what I'm all about. And
yes, because you were a part of that journey, you're a part of the positive change and the transformation, however small or big part that is, but you're still part of it. So I can understand why you'd want to know how your clients are doing.
Oh, absolutely. And I've had some, like, I think in my first year when I was doing things online, I did some lady goes, oh, what, when am I going to have my baby? And I don't even remember saying it right. I really don't. And the thing was, you know, I'm like, oh, September 3rd or 9th or something, right? I said definitely a 9 and definitely a 3 in there somewhere. And she's like, oh, I'm due in September, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, sweet, great. And she's like, yeah, they were born on the 3rd of September at 3 p.m. And I'm like, man, I could not have got that any closer. You know,
all
threes
and nines.
All threes and nines. And she's just like, I can't believe you did it. Like, rah, rah. I'm like, yeah, Nick, nah. Like, but she'll come back because she was so over the moon that even though I had no idea where the information came from, I just trusted it. But it's just those, I loved hearing the fact that it all happened like she hoped.
And so that's prepared. That's not the kind of information that would be life-changing or, you know, a real epiphany, but it's enough to build that rapport with the client for them to come back, because it all has to start from somewhere, especially, you know, repeat relationships. When you want your clients to come back, your first reading needs to start establishing that. So essentially every reading that you do as a psychic should be with the intention of creating that, you know, repeat client relationship. And I'm not talking about the type of relationship where, you know, the people come back to you every single week to get a reading or email you, you know, five times a month to get a reading, because that is really excessive. But, you know, maybe once or twice a year, you know, when you go back to the same reader once or twice a year to get clarity, sort out some of your stuff and all that. And that is where it starts, with the first reading.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the first reading's almost like an audition. And that particular lady, like, I mean, she found me when I was only just starting out. So I would have had less than 1,000 people on my page. And she's followed me ever since. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's she, and I don't remember if she's had any other readings other than that one, but she's stayed there and she's always followed me. And she's, you know, I get so much love from the people on this page that it's phenomenal. Just hearing that is awesome. Even if they haven't had a reading, just from some of the information that I put up and the free readings that I put up on the page, you know, all those things are enough to impact someone's life without them even having to sit with me personally. So it's not always about just that, you know, half an hour time slot where we have to really dig deep for you. But the other thing that I found with, like, an ongoing relationship is it depends on where you are and what you want to accomplish. So, you know, some people it's great twice a year or once every 3 months or something like that. But for other people who are in business and want to do business on a spiritual level, I find more regular meetings are more important because things change so quickly. And then you've got other ones who want to develop spiritually. And once you start going down that rabbit hole, you need more connection and you need it more regular, because so much changes so quickly. that, you know, every 2 weeks or every week is okay in those scenarios because of
that's
that.
more like a mentoring relationship rather than a client and reader relationship, I think. I think it's a different dynamic.
It is a different dynamic, but a lot of the skills are the same.
I think it's really interesting you said when you talked about what the relationship is about or what a good reading is about, that it's about making an impact on the client or the sit of the person who comes for the reading and making a positive impact. And I think this is just my experience that some readers confuse what a good reading is. A good reading isn't necessarily, in my opinion, isn't necessarily about how much and how accurate information you can just bring in and go da 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 da, you know, basically inundate your sitter with it.
Yeah,
that's not what a good reading is about. It's about, you know, whatever information you bring through, you use that to make that positive impact, like you said, on the client. So instead of look at me, how good am I with bringing through all this information, and you know, how awesome is this because I brought through this information for you? Because then it's not about the sitter, is it? That's about the reader. And the only person that's going to have a positive impact on is the reader, because, yeah, I'll have your money, thank you. I'll feel very satisfied because I've come up with all this information that was accurate, you know, shine on me, that sort of stuff. But then your sitter goes away and goes, well, that was a whole bunch of information I don't even know what to do with because it was just information.
Yeah. And I find that a really, really good reading is a backward and forward conversation.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a dialogue. And that's why I don't tend to do email readings much because you really do need the dialogue, because some of the information that we are given, like if we don't get the clarity from the person who we're reading for as to where they want us to look, some of the information can be quite broad. Until we start that dialogue, then the information starts to become really specific. So you really do need that dialogue, and when you have it in that way, that means that they're in bite-sized information chunks for them to actually process, then respond with their question on that information, and then you can give them more information to make the previous information clearer. So it just kind of it makes it go really easily, and they walk out and they actually fully understand it.
Especially, I think when you have a shorter time for a reading, like in a shop maybe, or in a fair setting,
yes.
where you have a certain amount, you can't really go over. You've got maybe 15 or 20 minutes for a reading. If you spend 15 minutes trying to figure out what it is that the client actually wants to hear about, then you know you've got about 5 minutes to actually deliver the impactful information or the impactful message. So if you start a dialogue with your sitter as a reader, then it's a lot easier to get to where you need to be, where the client's need is, and then deliver the information from that angle, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's why I tend to, like, especially with my online readings, I have it when they get their booking email in there, I've actually got a note to say, have, you know, your questions ready. So not just... Yes. So I've actually guided them so that they're going to be prepped and ready for our session so that we get more out of it, not just spend the first 10 minutes trying to work out what they need.
Yeah.
That way they're actually prepped and they're ready to come into the session.
So a good reading really is up to the two people, both the reader and the sitter. It's not just up to the reader to bring their goods. Okay. So how can people use good readings to attract more clients?
I do feel that it's always really important to, at the end of a good reading, let the client know that they are totally welcome to leave a review. I think that that's really important because we get so scared to ask for them, and our clients sometimes need permission. Like, I know it's really strange, but they do. They're unsure whether they should or shouldn't leave a review. So if you let them know that it, you know, if you feel like it and if you feel drawn to, I'd love for you to leave me a review, then, you know, they'll leave it. If they leave it immediately, then they're going to leave it immediately. If they don't do it then they probably won't. So it doesn't matter. But the ones that leave
it
will be
they can do that. They can do that through the Facebook page.
Absolutely.
If you're a practitioner, you should have a Facebook page and possibly a website. So if you get your sitters to come onto your Facebook page and leave a recommendation, or even if they email you one, you can take a screenshot of it, of course, with their permission. Make sure that you ask for their permission if they send it to you via email, because email is a private communication carriage between you and the client. So if you want to share it publicly, you have to get the client's permission, especially if you want to share their name. Make sure that you get their permission.
Yes.
And then what then? Once you have the recommendation, you need to share those recommendations. You can take screenshots of it and post them in groups, or even rehash them on your page, where you can say, here's a client that I've done a reading for, and this is what she said, or this is what he said. Or if it isn't a reading, maybe it's a healing, like spiritual healing session, then you can do the same, especially if you are talking about spiritual healing for that particular issue. Like, for example, if you did spiritual healing for someone who's working with their grief, then, you know, if that's the conversation on your page, then you can post a screenshot of that testimonial and go, I worked with this person on their grief a while ago, and this is what they said about how they worked with me. Don't be shy to post those testimonials, because they are the ones who will bring in new clients. They're called social proof. This is a marketing term. They're called social proof. It's when you share your testimonials. Don't hide them on your website only, or other places. But feel free to share them. Be proud. Be proud for people to see, especially if you want to grow your business. I see so many people, and you know what? I do the same thing on a regular basis. And really, I should get out of my own way. I see people with awesome testimonials. Yes, exactly, exactly. People have awesome testimonials, but they don't share them on my page. And I have to dig on their Facebook pages to find the recommendations, you know. And really, if you do this sort of work, you're in service, it's still okay to use these testimonials. It's not bragging. It's informing your potential audience and potential customers of how your previous customers felt about working with you. That's all it is. It's not bragging. It's not bragging at all. And beating your own drum is okay. It's okay.
Even if you're especially
exactly. Especially for a spiritual practitioner, you would be inclined not to do that, but what I would suggest is that you put it into your diary to do it at least twice a month. Do it twice a month when you rehash testimonials and talk about your work with your clients and just how awesome you are. Yeah, I think you should do that.
Yeah, totally. The other thing is that it's, like you said, it's not beating your own drum, but it's making it easier for people to see what it's like to work with you. So, you know, if you put it on your Facebook page in the news feed, in the page feed, then they don't have to, you know, jump around and try and find the recommendations on the page. And we're all so time poor these days that that could be the difference, the fact that it's actually on your news feed instead of them having to click on another tab to find it.
Could be
just something so simple that that's enough for them to push through and book.
Yeah, yeah. And while we're on the reviews, let's talk about, I know that this isn't strictly about good reading again, but hey, related. Stacey's just saying that she's been doing just this, and Wendy's saying that she loves a good reading. Testimonials are very important. They are. And I wrote an article about 6 months ago, I think could have been even longer, about what to do when you get bad feedback or bad reviews, because that happens. And I think that's one of the reasons why Facebook actually changed the way they do reviews on Facebook pages, because people would go onto other businesses' pages and would give them one-star reviews, even though they haven't even had any dealings with that business. And this happened to so many people that I know. It's actually scary. Just sometimes it's competitors. Sometimes it's competitors actually hiring people to do that to other businesses in the same niche, which is, that's pretty low, I think. But you do end up with legitimate bad reviews.
Yes.
Sometimes. So what to do when you get bad reviews?
So there's two schools of thought that I have, because I just can't decide.
Please share.
So depending on the review, right? So if it's someone who's, just bad mouthing you and they've never had a session, I actually kind of celebrate. And I know that that's really strange, but the reason that I do that is because I'm obviously doing something right. For me to actually find the haters, so to speak, then I must be making an impact and my message must be reaching more people, right? Because it's almost like a sign of hitting a milestone of success. When you start to get your first haters on your page or your reviews or whatever it is, it's like that first milestone of saying, I finally made it, I've got my first one, right? So it's almost like something you need to celebrate.
Yeah, I've seen so many people, like, it's a thing, when you get your first hater, it's like, wine glass in hand, cheers to my first hater on my page. I think it's really weird. Like, us women in business, we need to support each other. But sometimes, geez, we can be some, bitches to each other, with some really bad behavior just to satisfy ourselves. And I'm not talking about us, obviously, just womanhood sometimes. It's just really, really scary, really scary and weird.
It is. Yeah. And so those ones I kind of celebrate, because I figure, oh, well, I've obviously, my message is really making an impact, because it's touched on a nerve with someone, right? So that's that kind of thing. The other one where they've actually, now I've had this before, where someone was planted as a reading, as a client.
Wow.
And they came in and we had a good reading. I actually got a lot of the stuff, right? But the second that she walked out, because she'd been planted, went straight onto my Facebook page and bagged the hell out of me. And she never said any of that during the session. And I always ask at the end, have we covered everything? How are you feeling? Is everything okay? Is there anything else that you need? I always make sure that I cover that. So that particular person, my standard response is thank you for your feedback. I'm always open to, improving my services, and I just leave it at that, right? Because I find that if you start to go into defense mode, then you egg them on and it comes into some big, long carried out. But in her particular case, I knew what had happened. It had come to light after the session. Someone had told me why she'd come and all that kind of stuff. I think you can hide them.
Yeah, I think they're a good opportunity to show your customer service skills.
They are. They are a really good opportunity. Well.
Which is instead of like, a lot of people would go, but how dare you? Your session was awesome, and why would you do this to me? Whereas if you just step back, take the emotion out of it, and just discuss it, because people can see it. if somebody wants to book a reading with you and goes onto your review tab on your Facebook page, they will be able to see how you handle complaints
That's
and
right.
potentially stressful situations.
Yeah.
So it's always a good idea to not react from that first emotion of, how dare you? That reading was awesome, you know.
I always take it as feedback, right? So I had someone leave like when they were doing the stars, they left a 3-star review. So, and I'm like, oh, like I was a little bit earlier. I thought, oh shit, I must have went really bad. But all I did was I commented on it. I'm like, thank you for your review. What can I do differently so that your next session is a 5-star session?
Exactly.
So I asked them for their feedback to say, where do I need to improve? If that's what you think, how do I improve? Because that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stacey is asking, would you apologize that they felt that way? And again, thank you for their reading. So would you apologize?
Probably not. Because if I felt that I gave 100% in that reading, then I don't feel I need to apologize. But I would just thank them for their feedback and take it on board, right? And you do what it with you will. Whatever the feedback is, you do with what you need, right? But to me, I don't feel like if I felt that I gave 100%, then yes, then I wouldn't apologize. But if I felt that I didn't, then I probably would. And if I felt that I didn't give 100%, that would probably go back to what we were talking about the other week, you know, when you get 5 minutes in and you know that you're not 100%, then you would kind of really pull out then.
Yeah.
So I never, that's why I don't really tend to apologize, because I never get to that point where I'm not doing 100% in the reading.
And I suppose you pick this up and you develop your own rhythm and your own practice as you do it. So if you don't get it right off the starting block, it's okay. It's okay. It's not like you know, someone's going to come after you or anything like that, because you know we're all in this together, and you learn as you go most of the time, whether it is with business or like with anything else. I think a lot of people are too hard on themselves and stop themselves from putting themselves 100% out there, because they're afraid that if they put a foot wrong, then the backlash is going to be such that they're not going to be able to deal with it, or that it's going to ruin their whole career, or you know, it's going to have lasting effects and all that. So rather than just taking a bit of risk and go trusting themselves that whatever happens they will be able to deal with it, they will just not put themselves out there at all, which is a real shame, I think.
It is.
I think we lose a lot of wisdom and knowledge and teaching and just sisterhood basically amongst women when we don't put ourselves out there the way we should.
You know, this actually, something similar to this came up today in one of the groups that we're in. And, you know, someone mentioned that, you know, you're talking about people who don't put themselves out there because they're afraid of making the wrong step. Well, when spirit is giving you signs on the direction that you need to go and you don't take the steps in that direction, it's quite possible that they will also give that then direction to someone who will, because that message is needed out there. And if you're not going to take the step, then someone else just might take it before you, and then you're going to get the shits because someone else is done what you wanted to do or whatever it may be. And
how dare she do that?
I know. But you've got to remember that when we tap into spirit, we're tapping into a collective consciousness, and we all have access to the same information. So the fact that, you know, I want to do something doesn't mean that when you go into meditation, you don't get the same information when you tap in. Because you're in the same spot that I'm in, so it's the logical next step. So we've got to be aware that you're better off just taking the step, because the next step will be shown. You don't need to know all the answers. You don't No one expects you to know all the answers.
Mm.
So you
and like tapping into the collective subconscious and receiving the same message. That's kind of what happened with us. I think
yes.
Because one day I think you messaged me with an idea. I'm like, that's strange. I've been having the same thoughts for the last couple of days. Why don't we chat about that?
I know.
Yeah.
And here we are.
and here we are. This is how this show was created. But not just this show, we also have a meetup that we collectively, the two of us, came up with around the same time, which was really, really weird. That was another spin-out event apart from this show. So that was another thing, I think. Who messaged who first? I can't even remember.
For the meetup, I messaged you. I was on my way back from one and I'm like, this is shit.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. It's all coming back to me. It was like the message that I had to answer or else.
So yeah, I have that impact on people.
It just had that vibe.
Yeah.
I don't normally reply to messages right away if I'm doing something else, but this one was like, Andrea, it's like someone knocking on my head's like, you've got to do this.
And see, this is the beauty of tapping them together, right? Because now we bring the message through together instead of as rivals. So we could have very easily done this. I could have went one way, you could have went one way, and then, you know, we both could have got really cranky at each other or whatever it may be. But instead, like both of us understand the concept that we go further together and that, we both have different knowledge bases so that we can spread so much more information together instead of separately.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's just a different way to look at it, and I just thought that was really important. For people who are holding back to understand that if you don't take those steps, you have absolutely no right to get upset at someone who does.
Yeah, yeah. The age-old example, you know, when two kids are playing, little toddlers, and there's a bunch of toys on the floor and, you know, there's something that neither of the kids are playing with. As soon as one picks it up, the other one wants it.
Yes.
Well, it was there. You could have picked it up, but you didn't. But now that someone else has, now you want it, and now you're getting all upset about it. Yeah, like cranky pants. Okay,
yes.
So let's talk about this meetup that we've got coming up next Tuesday. The 4th of October? The 2nd? What day is it?
2nd of October.
2nd of October, because that is a Tuesday, because the 4th is a Thursday.
And that's not then.
Nope. This meetup is definitely, most definitely on Tuesday, the 2nd of October. Okay,
yes.
So what are we doing?
So we will be catching up with spiritual practitioners like yourself or anyone who's intuitive and also in business, and we will be going around the table, we'll be sharing our learnings, we will be motivating each other and helping each other anywhere in the business that we can. And it's a really good place for us all to just catch up and actually realize that we're not alone, because we find that in the online space that it's so easy to feel like we're alone.
It is. Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that we're, you know, commenting on a million posts a day or whatever it may be, it does not beat face-to-face connection. So it's really, really important that we wanted to create this space.
And this is at what's the address? It's on Queen Street at the Meditation Teacher Training College.
That's correct. Shop 22.
Shop 22. That's on Queen Street. We'll post the event and the address underneath this video anyway. So this is for anyone who is who is able to make it, basically. It's for female entrepreneurs only,
yes.
Spiritual practitioners only, and that's with good reason. And we'll talk about that in another show about female-only spaces, I think.
Yes.
I'll put that on the list.
Yes, good idea. And it starts at 10 a.m., so make sure you bring your own coffee if you want coffee, because that's what I'll be doing.
Yeah, there are a couple of coffee shops available around, so...
Yeah.
Bring your own thing and just meet with other women and talk about talk about what you do, what you need help with, and just, you know, see other faces and expand your professional network. That's what it's all about.
It is really very much all about, and just getting some connection.
Yeah.
That isn't quiet.
And it's not just for psychics, it's for all, you know, spiritual, intuitive and holistic practitioners. So even if you are a naturopath or a nutritionist or you're a Reiki healer or
a
you know, whatever
teacher.
You are, yoga teachers, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So if your business is in that space, then please, you know, do take some time out of your day and bring yourself over and meet us and other
Yay!
Women in the same boat. Yes, definitely. Alrighty. Well, I think we'll wrap it up for today. Thank you so much for watching. We've had people watching from all over Australia, which is great. We love to reach as many people as we can. Please spread the word to your friends and invite them to the show next time. We usually do our shows on Tuesdays. This week we had to do it today. Stacey is saying thank you so much, guys, for your time. Very much appreciate your time and advice. You're most welcome, Stacey.
You are welcome, Stacey.
Yeah.
Thanks
yeah,
for coming.
So, yeah, thanks for coming. Make sure that you tune in on Tuesday next week. At what which time we will be talking
we'll
about?
We'll put it up after.
Yeah, we will. Because it's
got
always
the
like, yeah,
it's a little
oh
bit
yeah,
complicated
let's do it
on the meetup.
Yeah,
so we might have
yeah,
to put a
yeah.
different day.
Yeah. We'll see how we can work it out, huh?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. We'll make it work anyway.
We
always do because we're like that.
We're flexible like that.
All right, you guys have a great time. Feel free to share the video with your friends, the replay, I mean. Hope to see you sometime next week, either at the meetup or the next live show. Y'all have
you.
A good one. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.